We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Blue Wire.
Breaking news, Terry Rozier. He'll be the next starting point guard of the Charlotte Hornets.
Step back, wide open, and it's good! Terry Rozier!
Lynn.
All right, what's up, everyone? Welcome to another BuzzBeat episode. Don't forget, we are a member of the Blue Wire Network, and you can find all of our episodes on the newly designed BlueWirePods.com, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or your favorite podcasting app. Today's episode is going to feature some reactions to the Clippers game from last night. I guess it'll be two nights ago when you're listening to this. Some recent player performance reactions. I think that there's some good ones, probably more good than actually disappointing, I would say, BG. And then we're going to look ahead to the remainder of the West Coast trip for Charlotte. They've got Sacramento and Golden State remaining on this trip, so it gets a little easier from here. Richie will not be with us on this episode. He's sending this one out tonight. Something else to deal with, so it'll be me, Spencer Percy, and Brian Geisinger. BG, what's up?
Not much, man. Busy day with some NCAA news that trickled out on Tuesday afternoon. But, you know, strange news day aside, things are pretty good. Enjoying the NBA season so far. And actually pretty excited to talk some Hornets basketball. I feel like even with the 1-3 record, there's some good vibes and some positive stuff to take a note of as we sort of overreact perhaps a little bit to a four-game sample here.
Yep, no question. You know, it hadn't been the easiest start for Charlotte, having to play both LA teams on their home floor and going west almost immediately. I mean, you know, back-to-back nights against two teams that could be playing in the Western Conference Finals against each other, right? So not an easy beginning for Charlotte. But some bright spots. I think you and Richie talked about the Lakers game. I reacted to that, so we don't have to get in that too much. But let's dive into last night. Second straight night in the Staples Center. Hornets lose 111-96 to the Clippers. But another game in where, frankly, they're in it in the third quarter. Maybe not as in this game as they were the Lakers late into the third quarter. But they're leading this game by 8 off the top of my head, BG. Maybe it got to double digits at one point in the second quarter. I mean, a lot to take, I think, again, from this game from the Hornets. PJ Washington, another solid game. Devontae Graham, just steady Eddie, continues to probably – I mean, he's probably been the best player, you know, overall on this team on both ends. Cody Zeller would be in that conversation too. But solid games from Devontae, solid game from PJ Washington again, and Malik Monk, his first good performance of the season, 7 of 12 from the field, 15 points. He really needed that game, BG. What were some of your reactions from this one? I will say this, Hornets had got in transition a lot to begin the season. The Clippers, very stout defensively, took that completely away from Charlotte. So I was a little surprised to only 83 shots for the Hornets having to operate at the half court, and they were, you know, not really, really efficient, but they weren't terrible either.
Yeah, I mean, this is the third straight game the offense has just fallen off a cliff in the second half. Three straight games now they've been under 0.9 points per possession in the second half, and their second half net rating overall this season is not good, even including against the Chicago game, which they held on to win. But ultimately, these are the like these this kind of game. I think I said this after the Chicago game, which they won, obviously. But you want to see these guys play well. You want to see them play hard. You want to see them work on stuff as James Borrego tries to install a system and a culture and develop players here. You want to see the young guys show promise. Obviously, Devontae, even when he came back down to earth shooting the basketball against the Lakers, still had six free throw attempts, five assists, and just one turnover in that game. He's been magnificent in terms of assist to turnover once again this year, and obviously he got hot again against the Clippers. But I found myself focusing on PJ Washington a lot when this team plays. Through four games now, 92% PJ's field goal attempts have been at the rim or have been threes. 53% shooting at the rim, 50% three-point shooting. He's 8 of 15 shooting from above the break. And as you noted on a pod last week, just it's interesting to see the way teams are starting to cover him a little bit. Not again, I don't think PJ's a guy that teams are just game planning to stop. There's no one on the Hornets roster that you've got to just structure your defense around to thwart, but you're going to key in on tendencies and try to take away guys' strengths. And I think we're seeing teams do that. He's shooting such a clean and pretty ball. I mean, he's got a quick shot. He got a couple of them off. One of them off right over the top of Zubac on a switch after he and Cody did a little DHO early in the game last night. But he just shoots a really simple shot. And it feels like even from above the break, like it's just always in his range. But I'm curious to see how he counters when teams start to close out on him. And we're seeing him. He got to his left hand a couple times and settled for a floater at one point, and then another time he was able to knife into the paint and had a nice little drop pass to Cody Zeller, and Kawhi blocked it from behind. But that's the stuff that I'm really paying attention to as well. And as you said, Malik Monk needed this game last night. Didn't get to the rim a ton, but just hit good shots from that sort of like floater zone area on the court. Mm-hmm. And they had some really nice success late in the first quarter and early in the second quarter with using Monk as like working in a partnership with Devontae Graham and Bismack Biyombo on these like empty side pick and rolls where, you know, Monk would screen for Biombo's guy and then Biyombo would go run into go screen for Graham's guy and Monk would cut around to the top of the key or run weak side off two, you know, staggered screens on the other side. And I thought they got some good looks out of that. So far, so good. I've been not pleasantly surprised. I've just been impressed with some of the, which is how the young guys are playing so well in Charlotte.
Yeah, I definitely agree. I mean, this team, and it proved to be true last night too. You know, they shoot 14 of 39 from behind the arc, so 36%. Certainly down for Charlotte from a four-game sample overall in the season, but good enough to keep them in this game. BG, I don't know if you realize this or not, but the Hornets are, hold on here a second, the Hornets are leading the league in three-point percentage when you throw out garbage time. Mm-hmm. At almost 42%, shooting 43% from above the break, actually 36%, which is middle of the league, from the corners. So everywhere else on the floor, the Hornets are kind of predictably struggling in, but they're staying in games right now with that three-point shot. But, I mean, mm-hmm. to the point you made, the ball's flying around. This team is very, very unselfish. Even the players that maybe have a little bit more of a selfish tag, I think, are moving the basketball pretty well. And then when you know, Terry Rozier, Devontae Graham, we saw a really good lineup, I thought, when those two were on the floor together last night. Mm-hmm. When Rozier's able to get off the basketball, I think it's pretty evident here early in the season he's more comfortable. He gets cleaner looks. He's able to attack closeouts, and I think that's more of his sweet spot above creating offense from the start, right? And Devontae Graham has shown us that it's really the exact opposite for him. He can create offense from the very beginning of a possession and do a great job of it. And once again, the guy is at the top of the league in assist to turnover ratio with a lot more of a sample to go off here. But yeah, I mean, other than that, last night I just thought that I was impressed with Charlotte's ability to stay calm, stay under control, albeit they did turn over 21 times, to really against a team that completely took them out of transition, which is what the Hornets have tried to do to start this season. I mean, only 9 fast break points last night against the Clippers, but they were able to scrap out 96 points, and I know the offensive rating doesn't look good, but for a young team that was taken out of what they want to do pretty obviously right away, they were still able to hang in this game. And I think there's something to be said for that.
Yeah, Devontae Graham now 9 of 17 on pull-up three-point attempts so far this season. Graham is shooting 72% effective shooting out of the pick and roll this year, 1.27 points per possession, which is obviously a monster number. And like you said, the Hornets are shooting well on threes, but they're just taking good shots too. They're eighth in the league in effective shooting, 54%. They are seventh overall in three-point attempt rate, 40%. This is non-garbage time. The turnovers have been an issue. Like, that's been a problem, obviously, for Rozier. That's been a problem for P.J. Washington, who's pretty high. You know, he's close to 24% turnover rate. Miles Bridges has turnover issues. Rozier's just got really... He's got a really weird feel to the pick and roll. And part of it is he's got this sort of, like, herky-jerky-like motion when he's trying to slash and get to the rim. But sometimes he can have a pretty clean pick and roll possession on the next time down the court. He'll just drive right. You know, Cody or PJ will screen for him and they'll be rolling to the hoop and he'll just drive, like, not like Snake, like cutting back across, but he'll literally just drive the basketball into his teammate. And he's just not naturally suited to be, an A1 pick and roll engine. And I think there's a possibility that we could see, especially if Graham keeps playing like this, or even 80% of this, that I could see a starting lineup of Devontae Graham, Terry Rozier, PJ Washington, Miles Bridges, and Cody Zeller, and then you move Dwayne Bacon to off the bench, you know, or some combination of that. And who knows how if Rozier is going to be too receptive to that possibility, but I could see that being something that they try to work in. But the teams, they're playing pretty fast. They're taking a lot of threes. And ultimately, I think there's enough that every game you can sort of hang your hat on as like, this going forward, this is a good thing to build around. And with Washington, one other thing I just want to say, and I've been talking about him and tweeting about him a lot, but like, as you were sort of saying as you and I were talking about before we started recording today, like, if this is just what PJ is for the next, you know, 10 to 12 years, like, if this is it, if he doesn't, like, build on this, then, like, he's just the new age Marvin Williams, and this is a guy that you can just play at multiple positions. He can guard multiple positions, and he'll be a guy that can always start and play leverage minutes for a team, including in the postseason. Now, if he's able to build on this, that'll be the thing to monitor with Washington is, you know, is he able to take a jump during the season? If and when he hits the rookie wall, what does he look like on the other side of that? You know, are we going to need another offseason to see a jump in PJ's play? All of which is fine. It just, I'll be curious to see, is this a guy that slowly builds as the season goes along and then there's a jump? Or is year two going to be a bigger boom year for PJ?
Yeah, that is going to be interesting to track. It's a good point, BG. You know, we're already starting to see it. I mean, last night the Clippers are very cognizant of where he is on the floor and taking away his airspace. And I would say in these last two games against the Lakers and the Clippers, he hasn't had as wide open of looks as he was accustomed to in those first two games. He's just gotten them off quicker. Like, he's shown that already to be – he can adjust mentally quickly to adjustments in the NBA. We've already talked about that. But I've seen him do that with just getting that shot off quicker with a defender closer. And, you know, he continues to throw him down. But that'll be interesting to watch because he is going to have to put the ball on the floor more, or he's going to have to move it faster because teams are just going to start to take him away from the three-point line. So that's really that we're going to see it quickly, accelerated development. But that's a good problem to have. That means he's really tearing it up, which he has been. Malik Monk last night, also good. Mentioned him briefly earlier. Maybe we should tip our cap to him. 7 of 12 from the field, 1 of 5 from behind the arc. Look, 15 points, that's great. 4 turnovers, not so great, but I thought defensively he fought last night. And when he sees a few shots go down, he's going to fight harder on the defensive end. I think at this point, BG, that's just the player Monk is. He's a streaky player. He has to see shots go down in order to really get going on both ends of the floor. And it's what we've seen in the past, last season certainly, and then to start this season through four games. He's a complete ghost, and you forget he's on the team for a game, and then last night he comes in and he scores 15 points and has a, you know, has a plus four net rating, mm-hmm. when very few guys on this team had a positive plus minus last night. So and maybe a little extra pep in his step going against his mentor, Lou Williams.
Lou,
what do you think?
Sweet Lou, no
sweet,
doubt.
Sweet Lou.
Yeah. Sweet Lou. Yeah, Malik, I mean, he's gotten to the rim more this year. Close to 40% of his shots have come at the rim. Turnovers are up, but assist rate is up too. I just think it's one of those things that he's playing with better verve. I think, like you said, for a guy like Monk, who it feels like if you walked in a gym and just saw this guy playing, he feels like he would just like exude confidence. But to your point, I think he's one of those guys where like he's got to see a few go down the hatch before he can really dig in defensively. But I think overall his defensive effort has been mostly fine this year. And again, I mean, he forced, he had the steal on Williams. He forced three offensive fouls last night. He had a block and a steal last night. I looked this up earlier today. This was one of like seven or eight games he's had in his 2.5 years in the NBA now where he's had at least one block, one steal, and one three-pointer in the game. So, yeah, you're getting friendly with filters there, though. It doesn't mean too much. But I thought overall Malik played well, and I think so far this season he's I think he's shown enough on both ends of the court that it warrants him to be sort of a bigger part of the team's offense too, and not have those games where he just sort of like drifts and sits in the corner. I think that's been a point of frustration for people that are following the team. I'd like to see Malik play on ball and see what he can do, even if it's going to be messy with turnovers. And ultimately, man, the Hornets losing these games, I mean, maybe it stinks in a vacuum, but ultimately they need to lose these games. Like, they've got to lose these games, and they've got to go get a top three pick.
Correct. You know, I thought it was nice, too, and then we can move on here. Forcing 21 turnovers last night against a good Clippers team. You know, not a lot of steals, only five steals for the Hornets. But they were physical defensively, and they were, I thought, pretty in tune, to be honest. You know, tagging the roller, getting back out to the outside, taking away the three-point line. I mean, Hornets have done an okay job of that this year. So everything has been at the rim for opponents if they want it. And the Hornets were a little bit better last night. But they have done a decent job of tagging, getting back to three-point shooters, forcing opponents to put the ball on the floor. And that's nice to see with the young team. Kawhi Leonard, I mean, 30 points, dude, 10 of 18 from the floor.
He had a couple possessions last night where you're just like, this. It's just comical. Like, what can you do? And I felt that way about Anthony Davis the night before and Karl Anthony Towns a couple nights ago. Like, right, against those dudes, you just throw your hands up. I mean, you're powerless.
And you know what? Miles Bridges, I thought he did a fine job. I mean, as good of a job like as you can do. He is certainly, you know, you can tell that he digs in more when he has to guard that best wing like a Kawhi Leonard.
LeBron,
same way, you know. And we've talked about this a ton. Miles is not a guy who's going to get in a deep defensive stance and really battle to keep the ball in front. But he has become more attuned to defending really good players, or just defending in general, and sending the action where the team defensive concepts wants to send it. Borrego, they want to send everything to the baseline, trap it, shrink the floor. And Miles is, you know, to my surprise, I got to be honest, he's done a pretty good job. The ball's on the left side of the floor. He's forcing it to that side of the baseline, gets his right foot in the right position. If it's on the right side of the floor, he gets his left foot high and he forces it down. And the Hornets have been able to hang in defensive possessions by simply knowing where to send the basketball. And if Miles isn't going to be a lockdown wing defender, he can at least understand angles and be a good team defender. And I think we've seen some good signs against some really good players for whatever it's worth through these two games.
He's got a ways to go as far as like a team defender off the ball and stuff like that. But you're right. He's shown some good signs against tough competition. He's played hard. And ultimately, these are like good experiences for he and like, I mean, P.J. Washington had to get matched up with Anthony Davis two nights ago. Like, ultimately, these are hopefully things that those dudes can build on going forward. They're going to need him. And I thought they did an okay job against Lou Williams and Montrezl Harrell pick and roll. Like, I've seen those guys just carve up some teams, including the Warriors earlier in the year. And I thought the Hornets did an okay job. And, you know, we're not going to be able to get all the way into Cody Zeller talk tonight. And Richie and I touched on him some earlier in the week, but man, what a job Cody Zeller is doing for this team on both ends of the court. I just can't stress enough how complete and good of a two-way center he is now, and he's shown the ability to shoot some threes, He hit three threes in the game last night against the Clippers. I mean, who'd have thunk that a couple of years ago? Just hopefully the big fella can stay healthy because he is so key to them on both ends of the court.
Humans have been shaving for thousands of years. And the secret to a great shave? It hasn't changed much. The ancient Greeks didn't need flex balls or heated handles, and neither do you. That's why Harry's doesn't overcharge you to add gimmicky features to their razors. They focus on delivering what actually matters: sharp, durable blades at a fair price. I love Harry's because it gives me a close shave, easy glide, and a low price. Do us a favor and check out harrys.com/bluewire for your free trial today. Harry's is return to the essential: quality, durable blades at a fair price. Just $2 per blade. Blade refills are delivered directly to your door on your schedule, with or without a subscription. And there's no risk to you for trying them out. If you don't love your shave, let them know and they'll give you a free refund. Listeners of our show can redeem their Harry's trial set at harrys.com/bluewire. You'll get a weighted ergonomic handle for a firm grip, 5-blade razor with a lubricating strip and trimmer blade, rich lathering shave gel with aloe to keep your skin hydrated, and a travel blade cover to keep your razor dry and easy to grab on the go. Go to harrys.com/bluewire to start shaving better today.
The holiday rush is coming, and if you sell online, you better get ready with ShipStation. With more people buying online than ever before, you have to be able to keep ship orders out quickly, efficiently, and affordably. But how do you keep track of all those orders, or decide which shipping carrier to use, or if you're getting the best rates? Luckily, ShipStation can help. With just a few clicks, you'll be managing orders, printing labels, and getting those products out the door and delivered in time for the holidays. No matter where you're selling, Amazon, Etsy, even your own website, ShipStation brings all your orders into one simple interface, making them really easy to manage from any device, even your cell phone. No wonder ShipStation is the number one choice of online sellers. You'll ship more in less time with the best rates available. Take the hassle out of the holiday shipping this year. Let ShipStation help you handle it with ease. Just use our offer code BLUE to get a 60-day free trial. That's 2 months free of no-hassle, stress-free holiday shipping. Just visit ShipStation.com, click on the microphone at the top of the page, and type in BLUE. That's ShipStation.com, enter offer code BLUE. ShipStation, make ship happen.
All right, let's take a few minutes here, and we'll just pick a few players. I do want to start with Devontae Graham and just talk about some early season performances that maybe have surprised us. Devontae BG has been beyond anyone's wildest dreams kind of good this year. 17.5 points, almost 7.5 assists, and he's only averaging 2 turnovers per game. This is all in 28 minutes. I mean, he's been excellent. He's shooting almost 54% from behind the arc, 44% from the floor. He just looks, I mean, the shots are going down, but there's something that looks different about Devontae this year and his confidence. And, you know, I thought about this today, and I'm not trying to stir the pot here, but I do think that there's something to be said about Devontae coming in last year. I mean, it's not like this guy just put in, I'm sure he put in a lot of work this summer, but how much different of a player he looks like, I think some of it has to be attributed to kind of taking the handcuffs off a guy, right? Like him, who does have, who had a history of being the guy at Kansas and the guy mm-hmm. in high school and having a scorer's mentality and give me the ball and I'll create. This is what he's been all his career. Last year, he looked very unsure of where to be aggressive, what his role was on the floor, maybe when he was playing with Kemba. It's just funny what happens to some guys when you take a player like Kemba Walker off a team mm-hmm. and you hand a guy like Devontae Graham more responsibility, how it can impact him. And I'm not – don't take this out of context. I'm not saying yeah. Devontae Graham is a better player than Kemba Walker or that, you know, Kemba Walker was holding him back last season. It's not what I'm saying. But there is – I think there is a relation to these things as well. And mm-hmm. it's just interesting to see a guy like Devontae Graham given some responsibility here a lot, how much better he has been. Devontae Graham so far, 4 games through the season, small sample size alert, 42% assist percentage. That's 10th in the NBA among guys that have played at least 20 minutes. Those other 10 guys, or those other 9 guys, Malcolm Brogdon, LeBron James, Giannis, Kawhi, Russell Westbrook, Trae Young. Excuse me, other, that's 8, I think. Those are the other guys.
Those are all really good players, too.
So yeah, some of the world's best, minus maybe Brogdon and Trae Young, but I don't know, the way he started the
season. Trae Young's maybe pretty damn good, man.
Yeah, so just yeah, 4 games, I get it. But the competition has been stiff, and Devontae just, on top of just being super steady, not turning the ball over, dishing it all over the court, creating shots, his shots are going down. I mean, he's almost been the perfect backup point guard in the NBA to start this season.
He's been wonderful, and he's not shot great from inside the arc, but man, and so there is some concern, like, when his pull-up three-point shooting, you know, when it dips, and it is, because he's not going to shoot 60% on pull-up threes the whole season, you know, at least he has the playmaking capabilities to fall back on, but ultimately, Graham's been, he's been phenomenal this year. He's taken a jump that I was skeptical, not skeptical necessarily, but I just didn't know if he could excel like this, pop this much offensively. I thought he'd be a guy that could think like a diet version of DJ Augustine. You know what I mean? As a guy that could just get you into your sets, run your half-court offense, run your pick and roll, not turn the ball over, just keep the ship afloat. But he's showing off, and I mean, obviously now Augustine can play make, and he does a good job for Orlando this year and last year as well too. But just Graham showing an offensive capability as far as shot creation, playmaking, these pick and roll pocket passes he's throwing. He had another one to PJ last night that PJ had a great catch and scored on a lefty and one. I think he missed the free throw, but he made the layup. But just the pass by Graham, just like a daring pass that he can still fit through these tight windows, man. It's been really fun to watch Graham play so far this year, and I hope he's able to keep up again some level of this the entire season.
Yep, and like you said, you know, it has been a little bit of a struggle for inside the arc, which it was last season as well. So like PJ, he's going to be chased off the three-point line. Teams are going to start going over that pick, and so how does he navigate that? Can he find ways, whether it's the quick burst, because I don't think he has a phenomenal first step, but also think it's something is there, and he has good footwork. So when he has the defender trailing now, you know, is he able to create easy ways around the rim for him to score and for his teammates? But to start the season, argument can be made he's been one of the better players for the Charlotte Hornets. BG, you pick a player.
So we've sort of already hit some of the players I wanted to bring up, Spencer, which were PJ, Graham, Malik Monk. But just for a second, I want to talk about in Zeller, and I want to talk about quickly, two numbers that are sort of sticking out defensively. One would be Charlotte's defense, which is not very good. It's, you know, bottom 4 or 5 of the NBA. Given up 45% of opponent field goals have been at the rim. Some of those, no doubt, coming on offensive rebounds. The Hornets, not a very good defensive rebounding team. They are 29th in defensive rebounding rate, a little over 70% according to Basketball Reference. So, you know, Spencer, what are your thoughts? Is this going to be just the norm for them the rest of the season? Is this a result of them trying to play fast and run on live rebounds? What are your thoughts defensively, as specific as it is to them defending the rim and trying to clean up the glass?
Yeah, well, I think it has a little bit to do with this style that they want to play, which we mentioned earlier, and they want to force the ball to the sideline and to the baseline, which in turn means that the gaps, you know, in between the top of the arc and on the opposite wing are going to be wider, and those players are not going to be, you know, those players are kind of taught by the scheme to stay at home more often, so they're not going to be as in tune with the gap defensive concept from wing to the top of the floor to wing. And so I think that's where the Hornets have been getting beat pretty consistently, and it happens on those sideline pick and rolls, you know, when Zeller can't get into a stance and really contain that action, then if it's a one-on-one situation, especially, the Hornets are getting beat off the dribble pretty easily. And we talked about this before the season. Like, there's not there's not a scary wing defender on this team.
No.
In terms of one that are going to stay in front of the ball. And then so behind that, you know, I think the Hornets have been pretty good scrambling around the floor and pretty good in helping when the ball does – beat the initial defender off the bounce. But like Cody Zeller isn't a shot blocker, as we know. And so there's nothing to protect this team once the ball does get past the initial defender and towards the rim. Mm-hmm. And you brought up the other point. Yeah, the offensive rebounding for opponents has been an issue for Charlotte. I also think that they send, like, I would say, like, 3.5 players to the defensive glass, if that makes any sense.
Yeah.
I think that if they see an advantageous opportunity, that they're trying to send two out on the wing, right? Like, they're trying to run. If they think they can grab that rebound or have any kind of advantage to get it, they're trying to send two the other direction. So that's always going to make it more difficult to defensive rebound, especially when you don't have the body. So I think that a lot of this is style. Hopefully we won't finish dead last in the league in shots at the rim, but I don't see it improving like too much.
Yeah. Yeah. And it doesn't seem like they're going to break glass in case of emergency with MKG at this point. Even with Batum out, MKG's really been on the outside of the rotation. They've been playing three guard looks, or just all the minutes the three have been Miles Bridges or Dwayne Bacon. So, there's no stopper. There's no rim protector. There's no help coming here. Their backup centers are very bad defensively, and Aaron Gomez and Biz, despite Biz's best efforts. And he actually had like a couple okay moments offensively against the Clippers too, finishing in pick and roll or out of the post or whatever. But God bless him, he's not super skilled in terms of defending the rim and guarding pick and roll, nor is he really at executing offensively. But this is going to be an issue for them all year. I'm not surprised. I figured they'd finish somewhere between 25 and 30th. In defensive efficiency. So, yeah, I do think going forward, you just want to make sure guys like Washington and Bridges, especially those guys, develop good habits and play together. I was a little surprised. No minutes with Marvin Williams and PJ Washington together on the floor against Clippers, which has not been good defensively, but it's been good offensively for the Hornets so far this year. So, yeah, do you want to go ahead and let's wrap up here, list out a couple of games and see the listeners next week, hopefully?
Yep. So, let's see. The Hornets are in Sacramento tomorrow night, which looks like a winnable game. The Kings have not won a game yet.
Boy, they look like a mess, man.
They do, and the unfortunate Marvin Bagley injury, I think it certainly put them behind schedule. But, yeah, a little surprise. They've looked sloppy this year, 0-4. So a winnable game, presumably, for Charlotte tomorrow night. And then they get a few days off until Saturday. They walk into the brand-new arena. I don't even know what it's called, BG, in Golden State. And that will finish out the West Coast road trip. So Golden State finally gets a win last night in New Orleans, but they look pretty beatable right now too. I mean, they're playing some guys that I'm not sure would crack Charlotte's rotation. As crazy as that sounds,
yeah.
So we'll find out. I mean, again, Charlotte threw a few punches in the Staples Center for the better of three quarters. Let's see if they can carry that over to this weekend, to tomorrow night, and this weekend, to some opponents that I think maybe they have a chance to beat. So we will check in with you guys definitely next Wednesday, always in your inbox, Apple, Spotify, wherever you listen to podcasts, every Wednesday. But we might see you before then too. So I don't know. We'll see. Until then, go Hornets.